Peter.
KD, CQ, 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 the All Things Sierra Net, calling the All Things Sierra Net. This is W9KD, John, located in Noblesville. And the topic moderator this evening, I guess, is me. And I was asked to kind of do a talk about repeaters and troubleshooting repeaters and then troubleshooting your own radio to be able to get into the repeaters. So we'll get into that after a while. This is a directed net, and all communication should be routed through net control or the topic moderator. This net meets every Thursday at 8 p.m. through the Hortonville Wires X Fusion repeater on 443.95 megahertz analog with a 77 hertz PL tone, or also known as CTCSS. We thank Hamilton County EMA for the use of this repeater. Please note, if you're using a Fusion radio, please make sure you're in FM only and not in auto or digital. If you're operating auto or digital, it could sometimes flip the repeater into digital mode and nobody will hear anything, except the digital noise. You'll also lock out any FM traffic while you're transmitting. This net's purpose is to promote discussion on various topics in amateur radio, spread awareness of events in the amateur radio community, and provide a line of communication for all, and buy, sell, trade deals, and again, tonight's discussion will be on repeaters. We'll start with check-ins, followed by announcements, then discussion topic, and end with sell, swap, want. And any questions unrelated to tonight's topic will be picked up at the end of the net when we open it up to all other questions. At this time, do we have any emergency traffic? Do we have any stations on short time?
Kilo Delta 9, Bravo Kilo Uniform, Mike, Noblesville, short time.
KD9BK, what was it again?
BKU, Kilo Delta 9, Bravo, Kilo Uniform.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. Couldn't read my own writing. Okay, any other stations on short time?
Kilo Delta 9, Victor, India, Sierra, Joe, Noblesville, short time.
KD9BIS, Joe, Noblesville, any other short time? Okay, do we have any guest stations with announcements for the net? Back to All Things Sierra, does anyone have any announcements for the Sierra Club? Anybody else with announcements? Okay, announcements will be handled after check-in. Check-ins will be handled in groups starting with suffixes Alpha through Lima, Mike through Romeo, then Sierra through Zulu. And your suffix is the first letter after your number. Okay, this is W9KD, net control for All Things Sierra, and we'll begin check-ins. Please respond with your call sign phonetically, your name, location, and whether you have a question on tonight's topic. If you have a question on tonight's topic, simply state topic question so I can mark that down, and then we'll take care of your question when we do get to the topic. So at this time, I'll take check-ins from stations with suffixes Alpha through Lima.
This is Whiskey 9, Lima Mike Romeo. Checking in from Northwest Noblesville on Lake C.
Alpha Delta 9, Kilo Tango, and Kilo Delta 9, Sierra Zulu Foxtrot, Westfield, handheld, no traffic.
November 9, Delta Echo Kilo, Dwight, Noblesville, no traffic.
Whiskey Delta 9, Delta Whiskey Tango, Dave, Marion County. I have no questions.
Okay, we'll hold it there. I've got KD9VIS, Joe in Noblesville. Oh, he was short time. Already had him. Anyway, got Larry, W9LMR, Noblesville on an HT, and see, it looks like we've got Pat, KD9KT, is that right, Pat? That's Kent.
9 Kilo Tango and Kilo Delta 9, Zero Zulu Foxtrot for Pat.
Oh, I had your calls backwards. Okay, so got you down, and then Dwight, N9DEK, Dave, WD9DWT. So, any others? Alpha through Lima.
And I do have a question.
Delta 9 Kilo Uniform Papa, Joe Noblesville, no question.
Okay. Let's see, where did I leave off? WD9DWT in Marion, then there was a double, perfect double, and all I got out of it was somebody had BX in their call. Can you come back?
Whiskey 9, Lima Bravo X-ray, Brandon in Noblesville on a handheld, and I do have a question.
Hey Brandon, W9LBX, got you down and you've got a question. So we've got that marked down. Joe, KD9KUP, I've got you. So any others, Alpha through Lima?
Kilo Delta 9, Hotel Yankee Golf, Joe Fisher, space, no question.
Kilo 9, Julia Bravo Mike, Joe in Noblesville on a handheld, I have no questions.
Okay, oh, I got KD9, I can't read my writing, NYG or HYG?
That should be HYG, Joe Fisher.
Okay, and then I had another Joe, start out K9, then I missed the rest.
Kilo 9, Juliet Bravo Mike.
K9, Juliet Bravo Mike, is that correct?
That is correct, John.
Okay, got that down. Any others, Alpha 3 Lima? W9KD, okay, we'll go Mike through Romeo.
November 9, Quebec Mike Lima, Andrew, Noblesville area, no traffic.
99 QML. Any others? Mike 3 Romeo. Okay, how about Sierra through Zulu? Hi Lester, I should know your call by heart, but I don't. You chopped out on the last letter. What's your last letter again? Okay, that's what I thought. KC9, Tango Charlie Lima. Lester, over far southwest there. Any others, Sierra through Zulu?
November 9, Uniform, Juliet Alpha, Noblesville, no traffic.
Carmel, no traffic.
Okay, well, there were two. You kind of doubled. I got November 9, Uniform, Juliet, Alpha, but I didn't catch the name or location there.
Al, Noblesville, no traffic.
Okay, thanks, Al. And then all I got on the second one was just that you're in Carmel. So can you come back with a call and name again, please?
Alpha, Echo 9. Tango Charlie, it's Ed in Carmel, on a base, no traffic.
Okay, thanks Ed. Anybody else, Sierra through Zulu?
Kilo Delta Niner, Whiskey, Foxtrot, Kilo, Matthew in Carmel.
Kilo Alpha Niner, Sierra Delta Quebec, Paul in Carmel.
Kilo Delta 9, Uniform Zulu X-ray, Rodney in Westfield, no traffic.
Okay, I got Matthew, KD9WFK, and I got it right this time, Matthew. We've been talking a lot, and I always get his call messed up. But anyway, and then I've got KE9SDQ, Paul and Carmel, KD9 Uniform Zulu X-ray, Rodney in Westfield. Any corrections on any of those? Okay, let's go through the entire alphabet. Anybody that I haven't gotten yet, go ahead. You got KD9WQQ, Paul and Fishers. Anybody else? Okay, one more time. Anybody else all the way through the alphabet? Call now. Okay, doke. Well, nothing heard, so it's time for the announcements, I guess. So, Dallas, you want to go ahead and take it with your announcements in 90 AM, W9KD. Okay, thanks, Dallas. Were there any other stations with announcements that they forgot to tell us about? Okay, well, the kind of leftover announcements from previous nets. What do we have? The mini marathon, that's May 6th. I think Dallas just mentioned that. Races Sierra CPR training on May 6th at 8 o'clock. Go to Sign Up Genius and sign up for that one. The Sierra Club QSO party is on May 6th. Dallas, do you have any other comments about the QSO party? Okay, thanks, Dallas. Anybody have any questions on that? Okay, and then this Saturday is the North Central Indiana Ham Fest at the Peru Fairgrounds, just north of Kokomo. And it's a pretty good ham fest. Not huge, but it's decent. I think they're going to have some forums, so if you're interested in that, just go to Google and look up Peru Indiana Ham Fest, and then it'll get you to the right page for that. Then, what was the other? Oh, of course, the Dayton Hamvention. That's coming up May 19th through the 21st over at Xenia, Ohio. And you can go to Hamvention, what is it, Dallas? Hamvention.org or .com, I forget. About it, and that's the granddaddy of all ham fest. I think it may still be the largest in the world, but it's definitely the largest in the U.S. or North America anyway. And all the vendors are there, all the manufacturers. They have discounts on things and a super flea market. So if you've never been to that, that's worth going. And nearby is the Dayton Air Museum. That's got more planes and things in it than the Smithsonian has. That's really interesting. If you want to take an extra day and look at that, then Voice of America station is nearby too. So that's a pretty good trip. And then we have the Racies has their monthly meeting June 3rd, and so does Sierra. So anyway. Anybody have any questions on that, or does anybody have additional announcements? Okay, W9LBX, you had a question?
I did. This is W9LBX. Mine's a simple one. I'm just curious what exactly the timeout timer is on the two Sierra repeaters, and to expand on that further, What's the typical timeout timer you see on a repeater, and what's the shortest and longest you think you've seen?
Well, these are should be set at 3 minutes, and that seems to be about par for the course for most repeaters, that it can go on for 3 minutes before they drop out. Any other questions?
I know I've seen some radios set with their own timeout timer defaults to 60, usually, I think, at least on my Bofang.
Yeah, now HTs typically will have, you can usually set them whatever you want, but a lot of times they'll have maybe a shorter timeout just to help preserve the battery.
Well, I appreciate it. That answers my question. W9LBX, back to net.
Okay, real fine. Before we get into the topic, does anybody have anything that they forgot to mention or ask or whatever before we jump into the topic? This is W9KD.
Net control, LMR.
Go ahead, Larry.
John, you mentioned the CPR class starts at 8, and I thought that I heard before it starts at 9. I don't have my notes in front of me. I would like somebody to confirm that it's 8 and not 9. I may be confused. Thank you.
I don't remember offhand. Can anybody confirm that?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Dallas. Yeah, and that means you can go to the CPR class and still make it over to the QSO party at a decent time and participate in that, too. Did anybody have anything else before we jump into the topic of the evening? Okay, well, again, this is W9KD, and I was asked to talk about the repeaters, or how do you troubleshoot a repeater, or, you know, what's all involved in that, and then how do you troubleshoot your own radio if you're having trouble hitting the repeater? So let's jump into that one. First, I'm going to try to give a quick overview of what a repeater is and what it's comprised of. I think most people know, but we'll just skim through it kind of quickly. Of course, for a repeater, you have a transmitter. Most of them have a power amp of some sort. You've got a receiver, a controller, a duplexer, antenna, feed line, and every repeater's got to have a polyphase or lightning protector type device. So that's the basic components of all that. So we'll go through it real quick. So the way a repeater works, obviously, it's transmitting and receiving at the same time. So that's kind of hard to think about, is how can it transmit when it's receiving? And the key to that, as you know, is you're not transmitting and receiving on the same frequency, but you're not too far off from the same frequency. So you have to have some sort of filtering to keep the transmitter from desensing the receiver. And what I mean by desensing is receivers have what they call an automatic gain control. So if the signal's strong, it cuts the gain back on the receiver so it doesn't overload it. And if the signal's weak, it cranks the gain up on the receiver. Well, if there's a transmitter nearby and that signal spills over into the receive frequency, the receiver's going to cut the sensitivity way back, and a station trying to hit it won't be heard. So you have to have a way to keep the transmitter from affecting the receiver, and that's the job of the duplexer. Years ago, they would just put the antennas at different heights, because if you get enough separation between the transmit and receive antenna, then it'll still work, but you have to put this, like the receiver, they would put maybe at 300 feet and then have the transmitter at 100 or 200 feet, so then you have to have two feed lines. Well, with the duplexer, you're running off the same antenna, but the duplexer is just really a real tight bandpass filter. So the way you can think of a bandpass filter is like a horse with blinders. You know, it can only see what it sees in the front and can't see anything off to the side. So that's sort of like duplexers. So you have two sets, one for transmit, one for receive, and the transmit keeps the signal from spilling very far from the center frequency of the transmitter. Then the receive ones, they are what they call band reject, so they're tuned up so it rejects the frequency of the transmitter. So between those two types of filters, it'll do a pretty good job of keeping the transmitter from interfering with the receiver. Power amp's kind of self-explanatory, you know, you usually have to have one because the antenna is usually at a pretty high distance up on a tower, and you got a long feed line, so you need a power amp to kind of overcome the losses so that you still have a fair amount of power coming out the antenna. Then you've got the controller, and some repeaters have a built-in controller. This one does, but it's very, very simple, very basic. It doesn't even have a courtesy beep or anything. So, we have an external controller on it that's got a lot of features and functions. And so the controller's handling the PL tones required to access the repeater. It handles all the audio, the receive audio, then it has to take that receive audio and direct it into the transmitter to have the proper transmit audio. So you have to adjust both the receive and audio transmit, or I'm sorry, the audio levels separately to make it come out right. Then the controller does the courtesy tones. Then there's different kinds of timing. You got the anti-kerchunk, that's so people don't keep clicking the microphone and bringing the repeater up. So that's why you have to hold the mic button down, wait about 1 second before you talk, because otherwise it'll cut off your first syllable. So anyway, there's that. Then there's the timeout timer that we just discussed. There's a hang time, and the hang time is that amount of time that the transmitter was still transmitting before it dropped out. That's the hang time. It also takes care of the ID. You know, it's voice ID, CW IDs, this, that, and the other. Then announcements. We've got little bit of announcement going on this one. I think at 6:30 it'll announce that the net's at 8 o'clock, that sort of thing. Later on we'll have more stuff like that. Any questions so far? DAM, go ahead. They say 100 watts, but really they're kicking out maybe 85 or 90 watts, something like that. Well, you know, that's a good question. And the reason they're not kicking out 100 really is because we don't want to drive them full blast all the time. You start getting more power, then you start running into desense problems on the receive, because the higher power going out makes it harder for the duplex to discriminate against the transmitter. That's the same thing about putting preamps on things. I mean, you can't have a preamp at the antenna because you've got the transmit going through there, unless you had a TR switch up there, and that gets to be a whole other ballgame, so they don't do that. So sometimes you'll have a preamp on the receiver, but But again, if you try to amp it up too much, you start getting into desense problems and you kind of defeat the purpose of it. So, yeah, that seems to be a pretty good balance. Now, if we were up at like 600 feet, well, then, yeah, we would probably want to try to go for a little more power, and then we'd have to see how that affects the duplexer. Okay, it's W9KD. Any other questions so far? Okay, so anyway, we kind of talked about the duplexer and its job, and again, the, you know, tuning those duplexers is very critical. You have to have really good equipment to get the maximum, what they call rejection, or isolation is actually the better term, to isolate the receiver from the transmitter. You have very sensitive equipment to maximize that. Anyway, now we talk about the antennas. Well, of course, your average ham radio antenna would work, but probably not for very long, because at the height these antennas are, the wind is really strong at times, and the cost of installing an antenna is between $2,000 and $3,000 to hire those guys to go up. So you don't want some, you want a really strong, rugged antenna. So that's what we've got on all of our repeaters. They're commercial grade, although they're designed for the amateur frequencies. They are commercial grade antennas, and we're talking stuff near $2,000 just for an antenna. So it's not an ordinary antenna. They've got pretty high gain. The radiation angle is critical, and again, they're just very rugged antennas. So, to work on a repeater, some of the equipment you need, I mean, ideally you would have a service monitor. Now, a service monitor is kind of like having a test bench in a box. It consists of a oscilloscope, spectrum analyzer, frequency counters, frequency generator, RF generator, audio frequency generator. You can superimpose a signal. You can simulate FM signals, AM signals, everything. It's all in one box. Now, those things new can easily cost $20,000 to $30,000. So you can pick used ones up, older ones, for much less. But it's not a Heathkit SWR bridge or some piece of equipment for $100 or $200. So to do the job right, you just about have to have a service monitor. Now, there's some things you can do with, like, a voltmeter and oscilloscope and RF signal generator and such, maybe setting audio levels and things like that, but you can do all of that with a service monitor. When setting up a repeater, of course, you have to get it set to the right transmit and receive frequencies. You got to tune the duplexers. That's what you use the service monitor for. It'll do that. You got to set up the controller. You got to get the PL tones right. You got to get the IDs set up. You got to get the IDs to ID at the proper times. You've got different timers. You got schedulers for it to do things at certain times. Then you've got macros, and those are the it's all in numbers. It executes a macro. A macro might be say the time, or a macro might be use this particular ID. So you've got all kinds of things like that. Another one might say play this particular announcement. So you've got all that stuff programmed in, and it gives it a lot of flexibility. Some of the issues you can run into on a repeater, the receive issues, well, they're exact, I can't pronounce it, exact, well, anyway, they're I guess you might say heightened or amplified by the simple fact that the antenna is so high. It can hear stuff far away, farther away than you can on your own radio. So all this stuff could be interference coming from many miles away, that sort of thing. So then you have desense. I think we just talked about that, where the transmit gets into the receive. So that could be, you could have a desense problem because the duplexers aren't tuned right. Could be you got defective or old cable jumpers between the different cans on the duplexer, or a bad connector or something like that. So that all enters into the picture. Something you don't typically run into on your own radios, although I'll give an example where you can, is intermod. Now, intermod or intermodulation is when two different signals are mixing somewhere, typically maybe the front end of your receiver. And for example, there was a situation years ago with a repeater in town, the 145.25. Then there's 162.55 minus 145.25. You would end up with 17.3 megahertz, which happened to be the IF frequency of the HT. So, didn't matter where you were listening to, you'd always hear the National Weather Service whenever the 145.25 repeater would key up. So, eventually, YAESU decided they would take those back and change the IF frequency in those particular instances that affected Indianapolis and some major town in Arizona, Tucson, or wherever. But anyway, that can happen. Then you've got adjacent channel. Then we thought we might have a problem there because the 2-meter repeater, Hortonville, is 146.865. That's one channel below, or 15 kilohertz below, 146.88 in Indianapolis. So before we were granted full coordination, we had to do experiments with them to make sure we were not going to interfere with their repeater. And it turned out to be just fine. Any questions so far? Okay, well, let's talk about some issues you might run into on your own equipment. Of course, you have to have the right frequency, obviously, although there's an issue to that. Sometimes people will inadvertently, especially on 2 meters, will have their frequency, instead of dead on, it'll be 5 kilohertz off. You can still hit the repeater as long as you're fairly close, but the signal will sound real raspy and off frequency, so you got to be careful you didn't inadvertently click at 5 kilohertz off. If you're on UHF and you're off a little bit, yeah, it's a bigger jump and you probably wouldn't be heard at all. But anyway, you got to make sure you're on the right frequency. And you got to be running the correct PL tone, 77 hertz for the our Hamilton County machines. And obviously you know that or you wouldn't have been able to check in. Now, sometimes people will inadvertently have their receiver on a PL tone also. Now, that's useful on this repeater so that you don't have to listen to the digital noise. If you don't have a Fusion radio and you don't hear that digital hash, you can set your receiver to have the PL tone of 77 hertz, and that way your receiver won't open up until it hears the FM signal with the 77 hertz tone on it. Well, you got to make sure that that's set to the right PL tone. And if you're on another repeater, you got to make sure that you don't have that turned on and it's the wrong PL tone for that other repeater. So sometimes that can happen. And you got to make sure you got the right offset to your, if it's minus or plus, you know. And again, you obviously have it correct here, you wouldn't have been able to check in. But a lot of times you plug in a different repeater and forget, and you have the wrong offset. This is one that puzzles people, especially if they get a new radio.
and they're trying to do the setup for it and everything. They may inadvertently set it to narrow FM instead of wide. Then, of course, you can hit the repeater just fine as far as bringing it up, but your voice is real weak. I mean, the audio is really low because it's only deviating maybe 2.5 kilohertz instead of the 4.5 to 5 that you're supposed to have if you're on wide. So if they say, well, yeah, you're almost full quiet, but man, you know, I mean, your audio is really low, you might check to see if you inadvertently have it on narrow. The ideal deviation is around 4.5 or maximum of 5 kilohertz on, well, I guess on any of the bands. But anyway, if you go beyond that, you'll start distorting. And another problem you could run into is because of the repeaters having these duplexers that are very narrow, very sharp filters, if your deviation goes too far, it gets out of the band pass of those duplexers, it'll cut you off completely. So then your signal's real choppy, and that's a characteristic of over-deviation. Most radios are set correctly from the factory, and you don't have to mess with them. But what you can change on a lot of them is the mic gain, and there you can run into a problem. I know my FT3, Yaesu HT, you can change the mic gain setting, and for some reason, a lot of times you have to change it if you're going from FM to digital, or what most people do is kind of find a happy medium. But it seems like on some of these HTs that have digital and analog, that the mic gain setting needs to be different depending on whether you're on digital or analog. But like I say, most people kind of find a happy medium and just leave it that way. Another tip is to talk across your microphone, not straight into it. That way you don't get all that puffy sound of your breath hitting the microphone, so it's best to talk across the mic. Another tip is to, after you key up, wait about a second before you start talking to allow time for the anti-kerchunker to time out. Now it's set for less than a second, but if you're too quick on the trigger, the repeater will drop your first syllable. Now here's another tip. If you're out driving around or whatever, or just at home, and you just want to talk to somebody, well, you would say, this W9KD monitoring. Well, when you key the mic, wait about 3 seconds before you say anything, because a lot of people have their radio on scan. So that'll give some time for their scan receiver to lock up on frequency, and then they'll hear you. Otherwise, you may say that, and by the time the thing gets back around to your frequency, you're gone. So that's what I do anyway. I'll key the mic, wait about 3 seconds, then announce that I'm listening. Anyway, the other one is your power level. That's common sense. I mean, you know, if you're not hitting the repeater, you turn your power level up and that sort of thing. So, but sometimes I forget and I'll be on low power and think, well, how come I can't hit the repeater? Then I look and, well, okay. Then another issue on a base unit, or, you know, it's usually a mobile that's on a power supply in the house, but check the amp rating of the power supply. It should be quite a bit more than what your radio is going to pull, because a lot of these power supplies, they'll say it's like 30 amps. Well, you start checking the specs and it's 30 amp surge. So it's really maybe only 25 amps or something like that. So check that, especially if when you key the mic, if the lights or the lamps dim down on your radio, well, then you probably don't have a high enough amperage power supply. Any questions so far? W9KD. Okay, well, let's jump over to antennas. Now, what especially on HT, if you're having trouble with range, a lot of people have some luck with these longer antennas, but you'll want to get a decent quality one, because I know of people that say, well, I got a longer antenna and it's worse than the little rubber duck. So ask around somebody that has one, and if they say, oh yeah, it definitely helped, well, find out what model that is and try that one. So you may need a longer antenna or a higher gain antenna, or you just need to be at a higher elevation. You may actually have to go upstairs, or you may have to go outside because the walls of the house and this, that, and the other block it. So if you're on an HT anyway. Another thing on an HT in particular is your polarization. In other words, you should be holding it straight up, not sideways, because on line of sight communications anyway, which is what we've got on VHF and UHF, it's 20 dB loss if you're cross polarized, which that's a lot. So you'll want to maybe just key the repeater and kind of move the handy talkie a little bit this way, a little bit that way, to make sure you've got the strongest signal. But in general, you want to hold your HT so that the antenna is vertical. Another thing is multipath. Now that's spatial on VHF and UHF, because the frequency or the wavelength is pretty short. The signal bounces off objects, bounces off buildings, bounces off trees, bounces off this, that, and the other. So you've got the signal coming at your antenna arriving at slightly different times. So if they're too far out of phase, they cancel each other out, and you can move your HT 3 or 4 inches sometimes and completely kill the signal, and then you move it back a little bit, and then it comes back up. So that's multipath. When you're driving down the road, sometimes you'll hear it sound choppy, like it's coming through an electric fan or something. That's multipath, and they call that picket fencing. You'll normally hear that, if you're going to hear it at all, it's more common on the commercial FM radio bands, but that's another indication of multipath. There's times where maybe you are in your car and you stop at a stoplight, and suddenly the repeater just takes a dive in strength. Well, that's because you've hit a multipath null. So you move forward about 4 inches, and boom, it'll be back up again. We talked about intermodulation. That's kind of a rare thing, but it can happen. On my FT3, when I was out there listening to the 2-meter repeater, trying to figure out what in the world's the problem there, you know, there's some interference, I hooked my HT up to the repeater antenna, which is up at about 170 feet. And as I was listening, I could hear the National Weather Service and the Eagles playing a song. Well, you know, I've heard that phenomena before, like I mentioned, that other repeater. So I grabbed the calculator and put in 162.55. and subtracted the IF frequency of my HT, which was 58.05. And that turned out to be right in the bandpass of WJJK 104.5 FM classic rock. So that's where the Eagles was coming from. But normally I would never hear that, because you know, I'm not up 170 feet with my HT, and don't have that high of a gain antenna, that sort of thing. So I've never heard that before. So then I thought, aha, maybe there's something there with causing the problem on the repeater, but it's got a different IF frequency that's 10 megahertz off, so I don't think that's the problem. But anyway, those are some of the there's one other one here. Couple of things. Coax. If your coax is longer than it needs to be, you don't want to coil it up. This is especially important if you're mobile and you get a mag mount or just any mount, you know, and they usually give you more than enough coax to get from your antenna to your radio. Well, the tendency is, well, I'll just roll that excess up into a coil and tape it off or something like that. That causes an RF choke and will just really kill your signal. So instead of coiling it up, just route it around back and forth, you know, put it under that, you know, on the, if you have a sedan, you usually have a cover in the trunk, and we'll just lift that up, route the coax in S shapes or something. Just don't coil it up, because that can be a problem. On a mobile or base, you know, if you have a poor ground, that could be a problem too, especially mobile. Now like a mag mount, though, on 2 meters or 440, you actually do have a decent RF ground, because the magnetic mount on a metal surface, it acts like a capacitor, and at that high of frequency, the capacitive reactance, or if you want to call it capacitive resistance, is rather low. So you actually do have a good RF ground that way. So, but if you're going to do a trunk mount, well, make sure your those little Allen screws bite in through the paint into the base metal to make sure you've got a decent ground. W9KD. Oh, one other thing here, then I think I'm done. Too many connectors in your coax line. That'll really sap the power down. So let's say you're at home and you've obviously got a PL connector to plug into your radio, but then let's say you go into an antenna switch, because maybe you have a beam and two different antennas for whatever reason. Well, now there's another connection, and then maybe you're going to go through a polyphaser, or you're just routing it through somewhere, and then you add an elbow connector somewhere, and this, that, and the other. Every one of those connectors has loss. Ran into that at the State Racy's building years ago, where we had coax going from the basement up to the top roof, and checking the power level, couldn't get any power up there. And so there, it turned out there was kind of like a metal panel box down in the basement, coax routing through that. I don't know, we took out, I think it was like 8 or 9 elbow connectors, and double female connectors and all that, and we practically tripled the amount of power going up to the antenna. So don't use any more connectors than you really have to. And of course, any objects between your antenna and the repeater can be a factor. As a lot of people in Carmel know, there's dead spots there because of the tall buildings and things. But anyway, anybody have any questions? I think that's about it. This is W9KD. I didn't put everybody to sleep, so, okay. Well, any late check-ins at this point? All right. Anybody?
Whiskey Alpha 4 Echo Zulu Foxtrot.
Swap or something you're looking for? Oh, okay. Well, whoever tried to say something, come back again.
Whiskey Alpha 4 Echo Zulu Foxtrot, checking in.
Thanks, Ron. Good to hear you on here. So, do you have anything else, questions or announcements or anything?
No.
Okie doke. Any other late check-ins?
N9DEK, I had a couple of comments.
Yeah, go ahead, Dwight.
Regarding the excess coaxial cable and not coiling that to create a choke and crisscrossing it. My Elmer advised me to do that, and I guess the correct term for that is called flaking the coax, I believe. And I'd like to add, when you're in a QSO and you're going to reply to somebody in a QSO, it's a good habit to get in the habit of letting the light on your radio go off and hear the courtesy tone on the radio, on the repeater rather, and then wait a few seconds if you're in emergency communications situation. You want to leave gaps like that so if people do have emergency traffic, they have plenty of gap in there to get in. That's a good habit to get into. Plus, you don't risk cutting off who you're talking to. They may have just paused, and you give the repeater a rest, and you make sure you don't time out the repeater. And 90EK.
Yeah, all good comments. Thanks, Dwight. Yeah, I've heard nets where they just jump in. They don't wait. You know, so the guy had a pause, and then he started talking or continued talking, and net control had already bowled over him. Maybe I've done that here tonight. I don't know. Anybody else have anything before we do this cell swap? Okay, anybody have anything for sale, for swap, something they want, or just maybe have a question about a radio you're thinking about buying and want some comments on it, call now. Okay, I guess that's it. One last call for late check-ins. Alrighty. Dallas, do we know what the topic is for next week? Okay, well, stay tuned, you know, as they say. Okay, anybody else have anything for the net before we close it down? This is W9KD thanking you for your participation in tonight's net. The next net is next Thursday at 8 p.m. And the next week's topic will be announced later. If there's a topic you'd like to discuss in the future, please email Dallas at KD9TJH. That's Kilo Delta 9 Tango Juliet Hotel at gmail.com. And that's his old call sign. He hasn't changed his email yet. So anyway, thanks again. This is W9KD closing the net at, what have I got? 8:59, I guess. And catch you all on the net on Sunday evening at 8 o'clock on 145.17 or 443.55. BL tone 77 hertz. 73 W9KD.